Concerned about an issue in your life? Need some legal direction? You've come to the right place. Welcome to 5-Minute Legal Insights, a podcast that features top lawyers from across the country and delivers bite-sized moments of pure gold, so you can benefit from years of legal know-how in just minutes. Each week, we bring you the things that make the big difference, so you know how to approach your legal situation with confidence and clarity. Now, here's your host and founder of the law firm Authority Network, Grant Eagle.
Welcome to the show, everybody. And I'm here with Scott Lanin, the leading foreclosure attorney based out of New York and founder of Lanin Law PC. Scott has extensive experience representing individuals and businesses, including lenders and borrowers in cases involving debt collection, asset recovery, orders of seizure, mortgage foreclosure, and bankruptcy cases, including chapters 7, 13, and 11. On top of all that, Scott has the top rating on Avvo, the lawyer rating site, and was named on the list of super lawyers in New York, which puts him in the top 5%. So I'm looking forward to getting into things with him today to understand how he works his cases. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you, Grant. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, one of the things we were talking about before the show started was this area of focus that you have in foreclosure. That's notwithstanding all the other things that you deal with, but you mentioned to me one of the big misconceptions that people have is, or maybe not misconceptions, but mistakes that they make, is they're just unaware of the whole process. Could you just expand on that for us for a few minutes?
Sure. So in New York, foreclosure is a judicial process. That means that the lender has to start a lawsuit in court, and it happens in the New York Supreme Court in the county where the real estate is located. And the lender has lawyers, and they start with a summons and a complaint. Most people have the misconception that when they're in a foreclosure action, that the sheriff may show up at their door the next day and kick them out of their home. And that's very far from the truth. The process takes a very long time in New York, sometimes many years, to complete from the beginning all the way to the end, which is an auction, a public auction, where the property is sold. And there are many things the homeowner can do along the way to try to resolve the problem.
Well, that's sort of true. But what you also mentioned to me is some people think of trying to take this on themselves and save on legal fees, but you would warn against that, right?
Absolutely, yes. The lenders have attorneys, sometimes a team of attorneys in large firms that represent the banks, and homeowners who try to represent themselves, which we call being pro se or self-represented, make a very big mistake because they're unfamiliar with the procedures and the laws. And sometimes they may get help from a lawyer and then try to write court papers themselves, or they may just try to handle it by looking at things on the internet. And very often they mess it up. And the reason that I know this is because I see it happen often when I'm in a courtroom waiting for my case to be called. I see pro se homeowners trying to represent themselves before I get to go, and I watch what happens. And other times pro se homeowners come into my office and ask me to take over a case that they've started themselves and made a mess of.
Right. Okay. I mean, one of the things you mentioned to me that sort of jumped out at me was timing and timelines. They're just unaware of some critical pivotal points in that.
Yes. So that's part of understanding the procedures. A foreclosure has many steps or stages from start to finish. So normally it will start with a summons and a complaint that gets filed in the court, and a process server will deliver it to someone at their home, or whether it's residential or commercial property. And then you have 20 or 30 days to answer that summons with your denials and admissions and any affirmative defenses and counterclaims you might assert. And very often people miss that deadline. So it's usually possible to get an extension of time to answer if you need a little more time, but once you miss the deadline and you don't answer, then you're in default. And that can lead to a default judgment where you've waived all of your rights. And and after that, there are other stages. The court has to appoint a referee. The referee has to make a report of how much is due on the loan. The bank has to make a motion to confirm the report, a motion for a final judgment, and then they advertise for a public sale. And anywhere along that way, there could be legal issues and things that a lawyer would help a homeowner with that the homeowner would not know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said that there really is a whole industry out there of people wanting to sort of get in on the act once a bank starts to issue summary judgments and stuff like that, right?
Yes, yes. I should have mentioned summary judgment as well. If you, the scenario that I was describing before is if you don't answer the summons, then you're in default. But if you do answer it, the other two aspects that are pretty important is that the courts now schedule a mandatory foreclosure settlement conference. And that gives the homeowner the opportunity to try to modify the loan or settle the problem in some way. And if it's not settled or resolved, then you end up where the bank will likely file a motion for summary judgment, which is like doing a trial on paper. They'll submit all their documents, and the homeowner has the opportunity to oppose that and submit affidavits and a memorandum of law and other documents as well. That is really where having a commercial litigation attorney on board can help the homeowner the most, is with the summary judgment aspect. Right. And as far as the industry, you asked about that. The other people who try to get into this field would be mortgage brokers often do, because they're trying to see if the homeowner may want to list the property for sale. Mm-hmm. I also have a real estate broker's license in New York myself. And sometimes I work with other brokers who may help. But the problem with that is very often the property is underwater, meaning that the value of the property is less than what is due on the loan. That can lead to a short sale scenario where you try to sell with the bank's approval. And then so you have a whole industry of people who do short sales, who want to try to buy the property at a below market price. And then there are just investors looking to see if they can get a good deal on a property. So the homeowners often get they get inundated with mail. They get a lot of letters from all these people who are supposedly trying to help them. And the other, the big problem area is with what I call out-of-state consultants, who are unlicensed and unregulated, and send letters claiming that they'll do things to help the homeowner, but they're not allowed to appear in court in New York, and they often take a fee, and then they don't call the homeowner back, and that's when the homeowners come to me for help after they've been scammed.
Right. Okay, I mean you use the language that there's no such thing as pre-foreclosure. Right.
That's another misconception. Yes, I often joke that you can't be a little pregnant. You're either in foreclosure or you're not. Many people claim that they are in pre-foreclosure, but legally there's no such term in the law, at least not in New York. New York being a judicial foreclosure state, other states have non-judicial foreclosure procedures where the lender can try to foreclose your sale by advertising a notice of sale and mailing it to the property owner. And then they just have an auction with no court involvement at all. So in New York, we're strictly dealing with judicial court foreclosure proceedings.
Is there anything else you want to mention about this pre-foreclosure thing?
Yes. So the process that we refer to as foreclosure in New York, it formally begins when the bank attorneys file the summons and complaint with the Supreme Court, but they also file a document called a lis pendens, which is Latin for notice of pendency. And that just means that there's a notice filed in the county clerk's office that there is there's a court action pending relating to a specific piece of real estate. And the lis pendens, sometimes we call it the LP, puts the public on notice that this property is now tied up. So when there's an LP and a summons and a complaint, that's when foreclosure starts. Before that happens, the lender may be sending out notices. They are required to send a 90-day pre-foreclosure notice that you're in default on the loan. But that process, some people may call that pre-foreclosure, but it's really not. You're just in potentially in default on your loan, and that default can be cured by catching up.
Okay, right. So let's so there are quite a few things there for people to take away and understand about this. And I think the big takeaway for everybody listening is that you don't want to be going into this blind, and you don't want to be going into it on your own. But from there, you were talking to me, there's quite a few different remedies that you're able to negotiate or deliver depending on the context of that foreclosure. So do you just want to give our audience, before we wrap up, just some of those things that are possible so they start to see maybe some light at the end of their tunnel?
Sure. So when I meet with a potential new client, one of the first things I try to determine is what is their goal. Do they want to keep their property, or do they want to stay there as long as possible, or just get rid of it now? So a lot of this is driven by what the homeowner wants. Then I try to determine whether it's realistic or not. And what stage are they at? Are they at the very beginning of a foreclosure, or has this been going on for many years, and are they nearly at the end where the property might be sold? Yeah. Depending on all that, if they want to keep the property, the first typical step is to try to do a loan modification where you apply to the lender by submitting financial documents and an application. And that process can take many months. And if you are dealing with a home loan, the court will supervise that process through the mandatory foreclosure settlement conference, where you have a meeting at the court with a referee who's appointed just to oversee the timing and the exchange of the documents. Another option for some people is simply just to stay as long as they can, because they don't want to keep the property. Maybe it's underwater. Maybe they've decided they can't afford it, but they can get a free ride, because typically when you're in the property during the foreclosure process, the loan has already been accelerated, which means the bank declared it fully due and payable, and the bank is no longer taking monthly payments of principal and interest. So while the homeowner is in the property during the foreclosure process, they're not paying the bank. And and often the bank is paying the real estate taxes during that time, because the bank doesn't want a tax lien to come ahead of them or prime their lien. So the homeowner could be there really just paying the utilities, the electric bill, and may be able to live there for years. Other homeowners may decide that they want to litigate because the bank did something wrong. Some banks may have committed fraud, may have mishandled payments that were processed, may have promised a forbearance agreement or modification agreement, which would stop foreclosure, but then reneged on it and went ahead and foreclosed anyway. And some homeowners are very confused because the loans also get transferred quite often. We call that an assignment of mortgage. And I've seen loans get transferred 5, 6, 7 times, and the servicing agent could be different on every lender or investor, and the homeowners don't even know who to pay if they even wanted to.
Yeah. So the bank's really not dealing with it anymore then?
Very often it's transferred to a different bank. And sometimes the homeowners will get notice of that, and other times they don't. So it can be a very confusing area for a homeowner to deal with.
Yeah. I think the big takeaway here is, number one, you want representation straight away, right at the start, if you can get it. And number two, there are multiple options. So just to wrap up, if someone's facing foreclosure right now, what would be your heartfelt message to them right now?
The first thing would be, don't delay. Don't bury your head in the sand. It's an awful feeling to think that you're in foreclosure. Most people come to me and they tell me that they're good people. that they've always paid their bills, that this, that they just had some hardship that happened that caused them to fall into this situation. You know, whether it's a loss of a job or a divorce or some injury, and they had a reduction in their income, but they can get back on their feet again. And if all they need is some time, that can that can usually be worked out. You can usually get the time you need to recover from this. So it's not the end of the world.
That's good.
And the other thing I tell them is, even if you're going to eventually lose the property, maybe because you can't afford it, it takes a long time to get to that point. And you can discuss with an attorney how to navigate through the process and what exit strategy would be the best one for you. So you don't have to panic, and you're not going to have the sheriff show up at your door the next day. And so sometimes I could go into full-blown litigation against a bank. I joke that I used to represent banks, but now I sue them. And other times it may be just a simple matter of trying to advise the homeowner of what to do and not really get into a battle.
I think that's great advice, and I think it's also very comforting to our listeners. Scott, I just want to say thank you ever so much for coming on the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you. Now, for everybody listening, Scott's details are going to be straight underneath the podcast. You can click there, go straight through to his website, and I think it's pretty sure to say that you'll be happy to take their call, right, Scott?
Yes, of course. We offer a free phone consult, and we can usually pull someone's court records from electronic filing on the internet and look at their case even before we speak.
That's amazing. All right. Scott, look, thanks again. Yeah, it's great to have you, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon.
Thanks, Grant. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks for joining us in this episode of 5-Minute Legal Insights. If you'd like to contact our featured guest, just check the highlights on their episode page at www.legalinsightspodcast.com, and you'll find their phone number, email, as well as their website. Oh, and if you're a lawyer with something to say, then just get in touch. 5-Minute Legal Insights, helping people get clear on their legal issue in minutes. The views expressed by the participants are their own and are not endorsed by 5-Minute Legal Insights. Nothing said in this podcast is legal advice for you.